you have already sung the title of our brother's discourse. Brother Buckley has chosen He Leadeth Me as a discourse. Brother Buckley.
Thank you, Irwin. We're thankful by the Lord's grace to be with you and rejoicing. We'd like to bring the Christian love and greetings of the little class from Shalott. I'm sure that Ralph brought the love and greetings from Jackson. We'd like also to invite every one of you to the Jackson Convention Labor Day. We would like to see every one of you. Considering my subject, He Leadeth Me, we'd all like to be able to say, and mean, that we are led by the Spirit of God, that He does truly lead us. Sometimes, we wonder. Sometimes we find that what we believe to be the Lord's will, what we believe to be the way the Lord would have us do it, that we find later is not the way at all. We make decisions, we have certain things that we feel must be done certain ways, and we feel in this that it is the Lord that is leading us. When I made my decision, I would come and serve the brethren. The time arrived. I decided that I would leave on Tuesday such and such a time, or Wednesday, at such and such a time, be here in plenty of time. So, last night, I left Shalott at 6 o'clock, which would be 5 o'clock Indiana time. And I thought that I would go down around Indianapolis, maybe a little further down than that, and stay for the night. Well, this, the Lord indeed would have it to be so. But then as I got past Indianapolis, I thought I'd go a little further. I'd have less distance to go the next day. So I got down to Louisville, and I thought, well, now I'll just get a little further to Evansville yet. And here it was, about midnight, such a matter. I thought, now the next place I come to, I will stop for the night. The further I went, the more obvious it was, there wasn't any place. Even a rest area. You got a fine rest area. What does it say? No facility. Do you no good at all? The gas tank is getting down about so far, and you're wondering, what am I going to do? Led by a spirit? Well, we're trusting in the Lord. Whatever happens, that's the way it's going to be. So we keep on going. Well, we have a truck stop. We're able to get some gas. Fine. So we'll go on a little further. Might just as well go into Evansville by now. It's almost 2 o'clock. So we get to Evansville, and what do we have? Find no vacancy. Stop Ramada Inn. Sorry. No single rooms. Don't know what to tell you. Not a room within 50 miles. Only one thing left to do, and that's come to the university and trust by the Lord's grace. Somehow we can get in and get a little rest. Sure enough, by the Lord's grace, we were able to get into the dormitory. They got me a room with a little bit of difficulty, and I rested for a little while by the Lord's grace. Even though I cannot truly say that wisdom was in it, that which I did, and that I truthfully, in the entire matter, was led by the Spirit of God. Many times we find that what we feel to be that which should be done, decisions that we make, are not always led by the Spirit of God. So our theme text is in Isaiah, the 57th chapter, the 15th verse. We'll put it this way, one of our theme texts, Isaiah 57 and 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite one. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth. For the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid me, and was wroth, and he went on forwardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, and will heal him. I will lead him also, and restore comforts unto him, and to his mourners. Our God, beginning by saying, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit. The great God of the universe, the great first cause, saying that not only does he dwell in the heavens as a high and lofty one inhabiting eternity, from everlasting till everlasting thou art God. But such an one as this, saying also I dwell with the contrite one, the one with a humble spirit. We gather from this that he who is greater than all in the universe, in fact the universe is of him and by him, that he states that he would dwell with one who is humble and contrite. We who would be led by the Spirit of God, we who would be led by the Spirit of His Son, the only way we could do it was first by having a humble spirit and a contrite spirit, a spirit of one who realizes the wrongs done and wishing to change them, to turn them around, to do that which is right. This was of necessity. Else otherwise there's no way that we could say that we were led by the Spirit of God. We look back upon our lives, and before we truly came to know our Master and to give our all to God, that here we were seemingly not so bad in that we were none of the things that others were. Most of us can say that we did nothing that was really that bad. But then, when we came to know the truth and to accept the truth, we began to see just how bad things were. We began to note in our lives that all was not well, that yes, there were some things whereby that could be much better. It could be improved. There is a difference. I think we can testify also that in coming into the truth, studying the Master, studying his life, studying the things that he did, the way that he acted, what he said, that we came far short. We just didn't measure up. And then there's a funny thing happened as we walked the narrow way and followed the Master. And 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, and some of us can continue all the milestones in 20 years, 30 years, and in 50 years, 60 years. And what do we find? We find now as we see the Master, and we see ourselves, and we're looking along that journey that we have gone, whatever it is, 5, 10, 50 years, what have you. But here, in that amount of time, whereas before we said, well, no, we don't measure up so good, and we are far short. In fact, at times when we first came into the truth, I think we shed a tear or two in noting, yes, we are not what we ought to be. But now, after 50 years, we know the Master, we know it ourselves, whereas before, we were quite a ways away. We look at ourselves, we look at our lives, we look at our journey along the narrow way, and aha, we're that much further away. What happened? Oh, here we are with this amount of time in following the precepts of God and following the things that the Lord has given us to follow and trying to do the very best we can. Yes, led by His Spirit. And so what happens? Our examination tells us that the harder we try, the further short we fall. At least so it seems. That is, if we do sit back and examine ourselves and note how we act, what we say, what we do, and how it is in harmony with the Master and what He said and what He did. Led by His Spirit? We'd like to think so. Yes, we are glad for the Lord Jesus. It's a matter of the attitude and the trying rather than the making ourselves up to Him. Because we can't make ourselves anything. Only the Lord can do that. And it is the effort put forth. The trying to be like the Master, to imitate Him, to emulate Him as best we can. So what we're trying to say is, when God says, I dwell with a humble spirit, the contrite one, what He is saying is that I am dwelling with those who recognize their shortcomings. Recognize their shortcomings to the degree that not only in the accepting of the Master, not only in the following in His footsteps, but also in the journey along the way, no matter how long it may be, that still we are coming short, far short of that which the Lord would have. These, indeed, are humble ones because of the recognition. And I mean recognizing that. And humility and what it means in its full is something truly to think about. That one not only realizing that he does come short, but also that he has the work to do, to try to do the best he can without the thought in mind, because I am a follower of the Master, that I am something special. Rather, that it's simply a matter of no more than a Christian, no less than a Christian, a follower of the Master. I like a good example of humility that I ran across someplace in speaking of George Washington Carver, who was the one that established the George Washington University. There was a reporter who wanted to interview Mr. Carver. So he arrived at the campus, and he proceeded to head for what he would be Mr. Carver's office, the founder of the university. And he said as he approached one of the buildings, saw an old man in an alpaca coat, and that with holes in it, carrying sticks. He said, I thought I'd stop the old man and ask him which way to Mr. Carver's office. So he did. And lo and behold, this old man is Mr. Carver. He said, what are you doing in these when you were the founder, the president of the university? Mr. Carver said to him, I'm doing an experiment. It required sticks. And so how would one dress to go out to gather sticks? Well, that's humility. That is a matter of one, whatever has to be done to go, therefore, to do as best it need be done, without a thought of, well, now, I am in this particular station, and so, therefore, such things are beneath me, or that whatever I do that I ought to show a little dignity and let it be known that whatever I do or do not do, that it's done a certain way. No, not that at all, but simply what there is to be done to go forth, therefore, and do without a thought of who I am, because that's not the idea of all. Humility is a matter of a willingness to do, regardless of what it would take to do it. Let's turn for a moment to Psalms 103. We'd like to begin with the 8th verse. Psalms 103 and 8. Speaking of humility and speaking of contriteness, the psalmist has many scriptures that point to it and which we can identify with. But we'd like to begin with the one in Psalm 103 and 18. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works and all his places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And how does one bless the Lord? But through humility, through contriteness. Well, let's turn back now in 103 and 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. We who are fathers, I think, can identify with that scripture in our children, and noting in growing up that they make mistakes, they do things wrong, and it hurts, and they have to go through some things we'd rather they did not go through. We would like to say that they won't have to go through the same of the things we went through, and I'm just old enough so I could make that statement myself. I can look back in, 1930, 31, I was about 6 years old, 5 and 6 years old. And in those days, we had oranges once a year. That was it. And many of the day, we ate potatoes that were about that big and mush. And that was our meal for the day, period. My mother was a music teacher. My dad was dead. And my grandpa lived on a little farm, and it was a matter of doing the best he could under the circumstances. It was up in Michigan. And I didn't plan on getting married or anything along that line, but lo and behold, I'm not only married, I have 4 children. My boy's 24 years old now. And I felt in my heart that they just don't want them to go through what I had to go through. Well, by the Lord's grace, I've been able to provide the point where they haven't had to do that. But there are things whereby that they suffer that I would rather they did not suffer. But I can feel what the Lord says, as a father pitieth his children. My beloved Susie, who isn't here and whom I was supposed to tell everyone who knows Susie hello. When she was in school, in fact, when she was 2.5 years old, we couldn't figure why she would have to hold things up so close to look, to see what she wanted to see. By the time she was 2 or such a matter, we found we had to take her to an eye doctor and found that she had bad eyes. And so from that time forward, she had to wear glasses. They had to be thick glasses when she went to school. And she had those thick glasses on. I guess you know, from that time forward, she was marked. And that little girl, many's the time she went off to school when she knew what was going to happen. And it did happen. Believe me, brethren, we could tell you some things, but what's the point? What we're trying to point out is the fact. The matter of, as a father pitieth his children. And my little daughter, Susie, who is now grown up and 20 years old, and, well, she went through some things, and I felt for her. And my daughter, Evelyn, also. Things that, they can be excruciating, brethren. They really can be excruciating. But it gives me a little bit of an idea of what this is when the psalmist says, as a father pitieth his children. So the Lord pitieth them that fear, that is, reverence him. Yes, brethren, led by his Spirit. Why? Because we go through some things. Ah, yes. But really, at times, the only way we get through it is because we are led by his Spirit. Yes, in John 1 and 12, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Yes, the power to do that. To believe, receive, and confess. Stretch forth his hand unto us. Said in 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. Come ye out from among them. Among who? Well, with me it was among the worldly. With some of us, it was from among the nominal systems. But he said, come ye out. And touch not the unclean thing. Don't look back. Don't turn back. He said, I will receive you and become a father unto you, and ye shall become my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. And we believed it. We believed it. We came out. And thus, to be led by his Spirit. Because we look back upon those things and what really, truly is there. As we think of these things, as we look into these things, as we examine these things, we can know that truly, if we are divorced from the world and from the nominal system and from all those things that were behind us, completely and entirely so, and we are led by his Spirit. And it comes to the point whereby the Lord, who all these things we have, whatever it might be, houses and lands and whatever else, they are the Lord's, and the Lord sees fit to say, I'm taking them from you. That even more than ever before should we be led by his Spirit. Yes? It really means something, brethren. It truly does. I couldn't help but think about it just a little bit. But I left home to come down here 450 miles all alone. Just me. No one else. And it gets midnight, it gets a little later than that, and here you are in the middle of nowhere, and there's nobody you know, not one person. Something could happen. I could just drop out of sight. Nobody even know where I was, whatever it thing. Ah, yeah. But Yes, but God knows where I am. Ah, yes. Led by His Spirit, and thereby dwelling with the high and lofty one. Proverbs 3 and 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. In all our ways, no matter what it is, acknowledge Him. No matter what it is. And this is not always easy to do, for several reasons. Not the least of which is the superabundance of this world's goods, and the knowing of it to the point where we fail to realize that we are not, as much as we would like to be, directed by the Almighty. Ken Ross will remember this. I heard his talk once in Wilmington on fellowship. He stood up there, and Ken Ross said that press that I have to go to work through every day, he said, I hate my job. I say, bless your heart, Ken. I have to stand up here and say, I love my job. And that's bad. That's bad. I spend so much time there that, well, how am I going to be directed by the Lord's Spirit as I ought to be? Most of my time is spent in a foundry, working 65 hours a week. In fact, I last 2 weeks ago, it was 71. How in the world is a brother going to be led by the Spirit of God and directed if this be the case? The thing is, these are scriptures we all know. I mean, we go through them and, oh, brother, I've heard that scripture before. Fine. But what does it mean? What does it mean? In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Well, if we're not going to acknowledge Him in all our ways, how can we expect to be directed in all our paths? It's something to think about. I speak to my shame. Poem puts it very aptly. Then seek to please Him whatsoever He bids thee do, whether to do, to suffer, or lie still. 'Twill matter little by what path He leads us, if in it all we sought to do His will. We seek to do at all times His will and His way, we can be led by the hand of the Lord. When we can truthfully say, He leadeth me. Placed all in the hands of God. Then He leadeth me. There are times that we cannot see with our literal eyes the Lord is leading us. Still we trust Him where we cannot trace Him. And there are times when we wonder. Trusting Him, down the road a piece further, we can see His hand, how He led us. In Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If we are then led by His Spirit and fulfilled the conditions, then it is that we can truthfully say that we are the sons of God. Now, one of those conditions is a matter of service. And doing the things the Lord would have to do as best we can, and this is specifically directly in His service. We'll find again, we come short and we state, well, Lord, I can't do it. It's too much. But there's one good thing to remember, and this is another illustration that I ran across that I liked very much. There's one whose name was Marco, who was a soldier. And in staying in his barracks at night, they were told to leave their boots out in the hallway in front of their door. So he did. The next morning, those boots were all polished. Every night, left out in front of his door, the next day they're all polished. We became a little bit curious as to who's polishing these boots. So we thought one night, I will stay up and find out. So rather than staying in his room, as he usually does, he stayed out in the hall and hid in a certain place. Along toward midnight, a little later, saw someone coming down the hall and collecting the boots. And lo and behold, it was Commander himself. Seen him in a little room when he took all the boots, polished every one of them, brought them back and set them in front of each door. So the next day, Marco asked him, "How has it come you are polishing all those boots?" The answer that was given him by the commander was a classic. He said, "I will ask none of my men to do anything that I wouldn't do myself." Think of it, brethren. Our Master Jesus asked no more of us than that which he did himself. So, if we are indeed to be led by the Spirit of God, following in the footsteps of the Master, no matter what it is he asks us to do, it is no more than Jesus did himself. Again, in the book of Psalms, 139, 1 through 4. Another familiar scripture, brethren. Yes, we have read it before. We've gone through it. We have considered it. But one more time. Psalms 139, 1 through 4. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsittings and mine uprisings. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. What is he saying here? He's saying that he not only knows what you're going to say, but he knows what you're thinking. He's saying that he has searched me and known me. He knows my downsitting and mine uprising. Understands all my thoughts afar off. Well, another way to put it is nothing hidden from the Lord. We do indeed have glass heads, and the Lord knows all about it, and we're not hiding anything from him. So the realization of that very fact makes us a little more humble, makes us a little more contrite, makes it indeed that the Lord is dwelling with us, and makes us realize we must try a little harder. And oftentimes in trying harder, we fall a little further. But yet, he reaches down and picks us up 7 times, yea, 70 times, 7 times. We're glad he knows all there is to know about it. It makes it that much easier. Continuing the 5th and the 6th verses. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me.
Yes, we can say he has.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to unto it. We cannot imagine it. We cannot understand it. We cannot realize it. But we can't lose track of that fact. But that's what it amounts to. And again, we are glad. And then from 7 to 12. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend unto heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uppermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Again, what is he saying? If we are his, no matter where we are, if we were out in the north woods, 100 miles from nowhere, behold, thou art there. The thought is, brethren, led by the Spirit of the Lord, dwelling with him, he's always, yea, we repeat, always with us. Look at Psalms 138 and 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. It's a comforting thought, brethren. Most of us, I think, probably could say that if we have any enemies, they are few. At least we would like to think so. We'd like also to think that if we have any enemies, it is because of the truth and our willingness to speak it. But whatever the reason is that we have enemies, unless, of course, it's just a deliberately doing of things against people to bring their wrath upon us, whereby we've been busybodies and so on. That's one thing. But in suffering for righteousness, suffering for truth, suffering for the Lord's sake, there are any enemies. Whatever is brought upon us is of the Lord. And therefore, in being led by his Spirit, suffering whatever must be suffered at the hand of our enemies, be they few or many, it is because we are led by his Spirit, and therefore we accept it as from the Lord and rejoice. Inasmuch as we are partakers of Christ's suffering. Yes, then indeed we can note again Psalms 138:7. And it means something to him. It comes alive. It does make a difference. Yes, these scriptures, one thing to know them, one thing to say, well, I've heard that scripture, I know what that scripture is. Another to note, yes, that scripture really means something to me. I know. I have experienced what is said in that particular verse. We have another scripture in Isaiah 42:16, which is a comforting scripture to us. There are many scriptures that can comfort us, scriptures that because we are led by the Spirit of God, they are scriptures that truly do mean much to us. Isaiah 42:16. God says, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Ah. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. What saith the hymn? Once I was blind, but now I can see.
He brought us by a way we knew not, before the acceptance of the truth. Yes. He led us in paths that we had not known. Brethren, I think we can state the path the Lord has led us means so much to us that the scripture which says in Ephesians, second chapter, I believe, seventh verse, I'm wrong, that isn't the right one. But at any rate, I remember the scripture so well because it speaks of how that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could think or ask. And brethren, that path that we have followed, the one in which we follow the Lord, that path is so precious to us and means so much to us that if the Lord said it is enough today and we died, period. No resurrection, no nothing. I believe, certainly I testify for myself, that that which the Lord has given me on that path, the path of righteousness, narrow way to life, was much, much, much more than I could think or ask. Much more than I could think or ask. It's unbelievable, brethren. I think we can all testify to that. Yes, just being led by His Spirit. Just having the Lord is our own, dwelling with us for whatever it is of 20 years or 50 years or just 20 days. Believe me, brethren, believe me, it is far more than we could think or ask. Think about it, brethren. Think about it. Back to Psalms again, 95th chapter, 6th and 7th verses. Beautiful scriptures, brethren, scriptures that mean something. If they don't, they should. Psalms, the 95th chapter, 6th and the 7th verses. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. We are the people of His pasture. Yes, we can testify to that too, brethren. We have a number of other scriptures that we're going to have to just cite. Zechariah 13:7 is a very good one. Isaiah, the 40th chapter, the 10th and the 11th verses. Further speaking of us as His sheep, the people of His pasture. Isaiah 49:15 and 16. Another beautiful scripture. Let's just take a moment with that. Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Something to take to heart, brethren. We stated earlier that if the Lord seen fit, that He took all that we have, that we possess nothing. Brother, we merely possess it because certainly, as we have also stated, it is the Lord. We gave it to Him. We said, here's my little all, so what He gives back to us is His, not ours. The Lord takes all the possessions that we have. Nothing left. Sometimes that's the best way to find out whether we're led by the Spirit of God. But whether this or that happens is entirely in the Lord's hand. Job, which we are well familiar with, and what happened to him. In his testimony, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. A testimony at one time or another that I think we have all given. There are times when we have suffered just enough, brethren, to say in our heart, if we're led by the Spirit of God, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And we're all familiar with Job and his circumstances, so we won't dwell with that further, but the Lord has been very kind unto us. Psalm 77, 1 through 4, another good scripture. Psalm 39, 2 through 4. Psalm 39, 7 through 11. All scriptures well worth considering. Let's just take a moment with Psalms 39, 2 through 4. Again, the Lord is dealing with us. Whatever happens, whatever it might be, as long as we are His and we are led by His Spirit, following in the footsteps of Christ, the Lord is dealing with us. So therefore, these scriptures come alive to us. Psalms 39, 2, 3, and 4. In fact, the first verse. I said I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. Now, specifically here, the psalmist has in mind at times when encounters whereby someone is wrong. And things have happened that our righteous indignation boils up within us. I said, the fire burneth. I mean, this is righteous indignation, and we should speak. Ah, yes. The psalmist says. Then spake I with my tongue, saying what? Speaking to the Lord, not to the assailant, not to the one to be corrected. Rather, Lord, a prayer. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Stop and think before you speak. Seventh verse. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgression. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebuke dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Ah, when thou rebuke. The thing to think about before speaking a prayer indeed on the lips. Ah, this is led by the Spirit of God. We have some more scriptures. They're very good ones. We won't have time to spend with. We have in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, from the 8th to the 10th verses. We have 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, from the 8th to the 10th verses. They are very good scriptures. By the grace of our Heavenly Father, He has accepted our little all. And we have, by His grace again, been able to enter that narrow way led by the Spirit of God. We look back upon it all, whatever it be, from the time we began to now. How God has dealt with us, what He has done for us. And we think of something that our beloved brother Danny Morehouse spoke of some time back. Maybe you Chicago brethren can remember it. Maybe some more of you can. But it's a beautiful illustration. You can remember a few years back when the Oldsmobile people had an advertisement. Big billboard lit up. Someone is sitting behind the wheels of an Oldsmobile. A big smile on his face. And he's saying, "Mighty satisfying." Well, brethren, that's the way it is with us. It is because we are led by His Spirit that we can see, can feel, can know what God has done for us, what He has meant to us, what indeed has been ours this amount of time, whatever it be, and we testify it is mighty satisfying. Yes, brethren. Satisfying because it's the only way. Dear friend, can you think of anything, anything that is better than that which God has given us? That which is ours? For the asking, brethren, that which involves eternity with God. More than we could think or ask? Those are only words, brethren. The realization of those words, of what it means to us, that is almost beyond our comprehension. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. If there's been nothing else accomplished by my words of what I have said, we would like to think that we brought to your attention for a moment what it means by being led by His Spirit. May the Lord add His blessing on what has been said.
Thank you, Brother Buckley. I don't think there's any doubt about who's leading our Brother Buckley. And I don't think there's any doubt about any of us who's leading us. We certainly haven't made our own paths, have we? Thank you very much, Brother Buckley. Before we get into the announcements,